Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of Champions League action. Celtic get this new format underway at home to Slovan Bratislava. The Hoops have started the season well. Can they take it into Europe? And what team will Brendan Rodgers pick? And elsewhere, Scottish football's top division has the highest attendance of fans per capita anywhere in Europe. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans.
Well, Brendan Rodgers could not display any more bravado about Bratislava. He is backing Celtic to do well tonight because he says they have never been more ready for a tie of this nature. Well, in order to get past Bratislava, Brendan will need to defy the odds where he himself is concerned, because with Liverpool and Celtic, he has had 24 Champions League group stage matches and he's won 3 of them. But Celtic go into this in fine fettle.
Look at you, what a treat for you this Wednesday night. We brought the big guns in to sit next to you for a Champions League night, honestly. You're in the presence of, I don't know what,
I'm delighted.
Can decide between now and 8 o'clock.
Absolutely delighted to be have Hugh next to me rather than Simon Donnelly.
Yeah.
Fresh looking young man like yourself.
A good choice.
And have you in your long, I mean, this used to be a serious show. In your long history here, have you ever sat next to a pundit wearing Crocs?
Well, not only Crocs, but shorts. And the presenters wearing
shorts
as well. So I did contemplate running across the road to the shopping centre and buying a pair of shorts, but common sense prevailed.
For those who are watching on the live stream, we all know summer has come around again somehow in late September, and Hugh has undone a second button at the top of his shirt. That's when you know things are heating up.
I have come here direct from my league in the West Highlands. I have done the 4-hour car journey to be with you, and what a journey it
was. So even when you're visiting family in my league in the sunshine and coming 4-hour car, you still wear a shirt?
Yes.
Love that. Oh, what a commitment. Absolute commitment. Anyway, 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. The big game tonight, obviously, in the east end of Glasgow. So if you're heading along, you'll probably be in the car roundabout now. Give us a call. You know we love to sort of share that journey with you to the big matches, whether it is domestic or in Europe. So Celtic fans, get in touch and give us all your pre-match thoughts, whatever that might look like. It might be confidence, it might be trepidation, it might be a mixture of both. It might be suggestions about who should play and who shouldn't. We suddenly found ourselves in the midst of a midfield debate last night about whether Bernardo comes back in and whether Rio Hatate is the one that sits out. So you can pick your team for us as well. And we don't discriminate. You don't have to be going to the game. If you're settling down to watch it at home, still, give us a call. And again, all your thoughts ahead of the big game right now, please. 0141 951 1025. We wait for these big Champions League nights to come back around. Here they are, so give us a call. If you're feeling left out, and obviously it's only Celtic in action tonight, if you're a fan of another team, Rangers or anyone else out there, we're still here for you. Again, same number, give us a shout and let us know what it is you're trying to get off your chest tonight. We still have that managerial vacancy at St Johnston, of course. A bit of encouraging news, although I think we've always known this, but per capita, as the phrase goes, Scottish football very well supported, according to a new UEFA report today. So if you want to react to that, you can do. And anything else, usual number, usual Twitter handle as well. So to set the scene though, a man who's looking forward to the big game, let's cross live to Celtic Park and speak to Andrew McLean.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Late September, the opening game of the Champions League, and you won't even have taken the big jacket. What a treat for you. What are you going to get on the field tonight, Andrew?
sunshine. But the supporters that are going to be making their way into that part of the stadium will get a bit of sunshine, I'm sure, before the game kicks off. But yeah, welcome return to the Champions League for Celtic. But it is a bit of a step into the unknown, this new format that you mentioned. 8 opponents, 8 games, a better chance of making it into the knockout stages, which is a real big thing. But maybe a different feel to this specific game as well, because it's not often a Scottish team will find themselves in a position where they're the real favourites on a Champions League night. If you take a look at the odds, please gamble responsibly, Slovan Bratislava sort of landing themselves somewhere around, you know, the equivalent of a mid-table Scottish Premiership team, where they would be coming into this game to try and get a win against Celtic at Celtic Park. They're not a team with household names. They definitely do have one familiar face. Their captain is former Rangers winger Vladimir Weiss. His dad, Vladimir Weiss Sr., is the manager as well. But this really is a team that Celtic should be looking to beat tonight. If you look at the new format, to make it into those playoff places, teams probably need to be looking at picking up around 8 or 9 points to get into that top 24 from the 8 games they're going to play. So picking up 3 points tonight and then having 7 games left to play would feel big for Brendan Rodgers. But of course, there will be tougher tasks to come across this group stage. I can't imagine there'll be too many surprises when it comes to team news, but midfield, as you mentioned, Gordon, and was a big topic of discussion last night, that probably is going to be the big area of interest. Callum McGregor obviously will be a nailed-on starter in this Celtic team, given he's fit, but the two alongside him will be up for debate. Will it be Arna Engels? Will it be Rio Hatate? Will it be Paulo Bernardo? We'll wait and see. Changes elsewhere, I think, would be a shock, but we'll find out in around 40 minutes what Brendan Rodgers has decided to do.
Well, stay tuned for that. Andrew McLean will bring us the breaking team news as soon as it lands. In the meantime, it's over to you, 01419511025. I like this period because this is the bit where you can predict the team. You can choose your 11 and then we find out whether you've got it right or not. I suppose one thing, Hugh, we talk about Celtic going into this in a good place in terms of domestic form, but also just in a very basic personnel level, everyone fit, everyone available. Yep. Just nowadays, modern football, you just don't often get that. You know, you kind of take it for granted a bit.
And that's why Brendan Rodgers, I think, has accentuated the positive all week long. This is the most that Celtic have been ready. He's repeated it time and time again. And they are all bang on form at the same time. I listened to the debate last night on the programme on, how you say, online.
Did you?
Yeah. that's the benefit of having two grandchildren who can work that stuff for you. I was quite surprised. There's a heavy emphasis on Paulo Bernardo because he did well in the game against Rangers. But I think the manager will still go with Rio Hatate. And of course Engels will play, because you don't have a record signing at £11 million and he doesn't play in a Champions League match at Celtic Park. So for me, it'll be McGregor, Hatate, Engels.
It feels like you might, maybe, but not if he played at the weekend. Would that be the feel? It was almost like the inclusion at the weekend on the back of how well Bernardo did was to sort of get Engels in ahead of this one, no?
Yeah, I think they want to get Engels in, and I agree with you. I think when you pay that much money for somebody and they come into your football club, it's for the Champions League nights like tonight, you know, without being disrespectful, it's not for the domestic games. You know, it's about playing in Europe, it's about playing on the biggest stage, and I think it's his shirt to lose. I think Bernardo's done extremely well, as you said, you know, done well against Rangers, but sometimes there's a pecking order in football, you have to wait your turn. But I expect that to be the three that he spoke about there.
Okay, let's bring in Paul, who's in Kirkintilloch. Well, he's from Kirkintilloch, but he's somewhere between there and Celtic Park. Is that right, Paul?
Yeah, that's right, Duncan. How are you doing?
All good. What are you thinking then about this one? It's obviously it's a new format. Does it feel a bit different?
It feels very different. As in, we're used to opening with teams that you've heard of in recent years, the Real Madrid game, played Lazio and that. So this is to me anyway, it's a totally unknown team. Don't know anything about them. And I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest. I don't know if nervous is the right word, but we should have a good chance, but I don't know anything about them.
You did mention the N-word though. Does that come from, as Andrew outlined, we've never really experienced this before in terms of Scottish football, an opening Champions League group stage game where the odds, if you like, and I know it's not all about odds, but the odds would look more like a Premiership game for Celtic in terms of being favourites. Does that bring its own nervousness then? Is that is that does it almost suit our Scottish mentality to go in as underdogs?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if nervous is the right word. I don't know if I'm just trying to not say nervous, but it's, I don't know. I've got a different feeling. It's, I think we need to win it. I mean, mathematically, we don't need to win it, but we've landed quite lucky with the way that it's landed. I don't think my son thinks that. I think he was going to say Borussia Dortmund or some of the big teams, but I just want to get through, to be honest. But again, I grew up in an era where Celtic used to get better off teams like Neuchâtel, Zamax and things like that. So, I'm probably nervous is the right word. I think if we should win, but if we don't win, it'll be a real sticky start to the campaign.
Does that, I think, I mean, Hugh, depends. Maybe there is a Scottish glass half empty way of, if that's the way you want to go down, this brings its own pressure, and it could be a banana skin. So fine, that's valid. But I suppose you've just got to embrace what is a winnable fixture.
Without doubt, I think there is a scenario whereby Celtic make the last 24 on the back of the four home games. Because, you know, whether it's Bratislava, Bruges, Young Boys, whoever, I think Celtic at Celtic Park with that crowd behind them, having strengthened the squad to the extent that they have, I think Celtic would fancy themselves at home in all four. And that includes tonight's game. I'm not dismissing Slovan Bratislava, not in any way, shape or form. But there's a feeling about Celtic at the moment, and the manager is highlighting that and underlining that feeling about them at the moment. And I think the scenario for me is away from home, they have some very, very impressive teams to play. Aston Villa, Borussia Dortmund. You know, it couldn't be harder away from home, really. Atalanta from Serie A. But I think there's a scenario that Celtic make the last 24 based on what happens at Celtic Park starting tonight.
Because you look at Brendan Rodgers, Marvin, he's got a lot of experience with Celtic in this competition, but working backwards, last season, opening game away at Feyenoord, I think.
Yeah.
And then the two seasons he had here previously, the Nou Camp was his opening game. PSG, I think a 5-0 defeat at Celtic Park was his opening game. There's obviously a balance to be struck. Everybody keeps talking about respecting every opponent in the Champions League. I don't think it's about disrespect, but just acknowledge that if you were to handpick an opening Champions League game in terms of winnability, a made up word I think it might be, this is the type of game you would go for.
It's definitely the type of game you'd go for. And I imagine, you know, all the games that Brendan Rodgers has managed in the Champions League, this has probably been the first week, you know, where he's been at Celtic and he'd be speaking about don't be complacent, and there's an expectance on them to win this game of football. You know, like you said, mentioning those other teams, you go into it and it's like it's a 50-50 game or slightly in the other team's favour, and we have to be at our best to win, et cetera, et cetera. And hope that other team have a kind of an off day. They know tonight, if Celtic are at their best, they win this game of football.
On the flip side though, if you're Slovan Bratislava, and you say, you know, you have to go, you're going away on the opening day of the Champions League, you might be saying, oh well, we've avoided the big boys, we've avoided the big hitters, we're going to a team that doesn't have a brilliant recent pedigree in the Champions League. So Celtic remain favourites, but again, maybe once you look at it through their lens, you realise that you can...
That will open the game up. That will work in Celtic's favour, I believe.
You don't think they'll just sit back, though?
No, I think if they're coming here and they really think that they can win this game of football and they really do have a chance, then it's more likely to open up, you know, rather than, like you said, going away to a Barcelona or a Real Madrid where you're definitely going to be pinned back and you're definitely going to sit behind the ball.
I read something yesterday, Marvin, that the entire Slovan Bratislava squad was assembled at less than the money Celtic paid for Nicholas Kuhn. Now, all that stuff you have to dismiss, you know, because the Celtic squad, as Brendan Rodgers has underlined again, is the strongest he has known in two different spells as Celtic manager. Rely on what they can do and not how much Slovan Bratislava cost to assemble.
Yeah. Paul, any suggestions for the team? Does it pick itself, or is there still one or two areas to be ironed out?
Again... That's a really nice struggle. I mean, the thing with Hatate, I don't think Hatate's probably had the best start. But in these games, Hatate sometimes shows the wee chinks of genius that could open up defences. He can do some really simple stuff poorly. Some of the passes that he does is top class. But again, the big Belgian guy come in. I mean, they've not signed him for nothing. He's a big unit. Bernardo, I don't think he's done anything wrong. I think they just need to use the bench as well. So the five subs, use five subs. You know, it's like half a new team. We're much stronger this time than we were this time last year.
This is what's known as the next level, Paul. You know, you as a Celtic fan have been asking, you and others for a long time, get the club to the next level. Well, Celtic have done that, and that's the next level looks like should we start with Hatate or Paulo Bernardo? That's a great position to be in, and whichever one you choose, you have the reassurance that the other one can come in later on in the game. That is the next level for Celtic. They've got a squad now that is better than any Brendan Rodgers has had.
The reason I like the show is because it educates me, tells me that I don't really know what I'm talking about. I just never thought there would be a debate about whether Rio Hatate plays a game like this. But in the last couple of nights, the Celtic fans have put me in my place.
Yeah, I find that quite strange as well, that, you know, Hatate is the one we're talking about coming out, where for me, he'd have to be a starter. I think we've seen kind of on the biggest of stages, he's a performer. I think when he's... Listen, he might not have had the best start to the season, but I think there's a lot of ability in there. And I think the balance that he gives that Celtic midfield when he plays far outweighs, you know, when you have him out of the team and somebody else in there. And that's not being disrespectful to Engels or Bernardo, but I imagine Hatate would be starting.
Well, we'll see. We're not too far away. Thank you very much to Paul on 01419511025. Great time to get your calls in if you want to join in. Let's hear what Brendan Rodgers has to say on the opposition. He understands the narrative around them being Celtic being favourites for tonight. He says he's not interested in that and will not underestimate their opponents.
We come into every game and respect every single opponent that we'll play. And obviously there'll be a narrative around this game, which I totally get. But I look at Bratislava and I only have to go through my own experiences here. They've had four ties, eight games to actually get to this stage. And so the amount of work and fight and spirit they needed to have to reach this level, you can never ever underestimate that. So for some it might not be fashionable, you know, there might be other teams with bigger histories and bigger clubs, but for us, we know that it's a team we have to really respect. But we also know that we're playing at home. We're in a really good mood, playing well, intense, being consistent. And we just want to take that and bring that energy to the stands. And hopefully we can have a really good night. But we know we have to really work hard.
01419511025. If you call now, we will try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley are here on the usual number, and James has joined in. How's it going, James?
Not bad, Gordon. How are you?
All good here, all good. What's the feeling ahead of this one tonight then?
I'm very confident, you know, not 100% confident, but I think Celtic will do well. I think they've got a very good squad. They've strengthened the squad. They've also changed the style of play, which was going to suit more the European style of football. You saw that against Man City and against Chelsea. And, you know, they do go out there, they've got a job to do, and I think they've got to get the guys that are capable of doing it. What I'm thinking is that... I mean, I was at the original game when Celtic played Slovan Bratislava 60-odd years ago. You know, my daddy took me and lifted me over at Celtic Park.
Hugh's 40th birthday that night as well, apparently. He remembers it well.
Yeah. I was announced over the tannoy, you know.
What was the score that night? I've not heard of this game.
It was a guy going round with a rolled-up newspaper. you know, shouting it because they didn't have Tannoy back then, you know.
Did Celtic win that one, but Hugh? Anyway, is that...
Refresh my memory, James. What was the score at Celtic Park?
I was seventh. I don't know.
Somebody can tell us all.
I think Celtic went to Bratislava and won the tie there.
Right, okay.
I think they did. You know, I think they drew at Celtic Park. I'm not sure.
They won the tie in Bratislava,
64 years ago, you know, so it's getting on. Anyway, aye, but I think what Brendan will do tonight, I think he'll play Bernardo because he seems to trust him in the European games, and he played him in the games last year, although he was, you know, in the domestic games, he wasn't really playing him. Given, you know, he was putting Hitaki and O'Reilly in. But I think he knows what he's going to get from Bernardo, plus Bernardo's got the experience. I mean, at the end of the day, I think if he puts Engels in, nobody would be surprised at all. But I think that's what he'll do. I think he'll go with the tried and trusted and at least give it a go. And if it's not working, then he's got the options to change it.
Hatate is, of course, tried and trusted. He's been a very good player for Celtic.
I see what James is saying, because there was this picture that built up last season that Bernardo was like the go-to guy for the Champions League, and he was to a point, but I think it's worth reminding ourselves Hatate was injured for those, so it wasn't like he was chosen over him. It was at a time when, you know, if you go back, take Lazio away as an example, it was Bernardo, O'Reilly, McGregor, and like Turnbull came off the bench. So he was never really chosen over Hatate for those games, but he did experience them last season.
I think James is saying Hatate and Bernardo though, isn't he? I think he's saying Engels would be one on the bench for him, which again, like you said, if it's going to be tried and tested and players who've obviously played at this level for Celtic before, then It makes sense leaning on that kind of experience. But I just think with that expensive signing, I just can't see how you put him on the bench.
Yeah, is that the fact, you know, James, he's the big price tag's not everything, but it plays a part. But then he played at the weekend. Is he not nailed on?
No, it does. But so did Bernardo come on at the weekend as well, you know. And at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to make much difference. I think it's like a toss of a coin, heads or tails. But I think given the fact I was saying Bernardo going in, not instead of Hitaki, I'd keep Hitaki in the team, but Bernardo going in instead of Engels, and then, as I say, if I need to change it, which you probably will, you know, give it a go. But the guys know that they're not going to be there for, you know, that they're not going to play 90 minutes every game, so...
I have to admit, this is just an observation, not even meaning anything by it, how you can get something in your head and it becomes true. I just double checked. You know, Bernardo only started two of the six Champions League games last season.
Oh, really?
I just felt like it was nearly all of them.
Yeah,
I feel like we keep talking about it as if it was. But anyway.
I think this is turning into a debate without acknowledging the fact that this is Celtic's good fortune. If you want to start with Bernardo and bring on Hatate, fine, or vice versa, fine, you have the luxury of having both at your disposal. This is what strengthening the squad means. So it's all down to the manager's judgment. Marvin and I are cynical. We believe that if you're bought for £11 million, you don't sit on the bench day one of the Champions League. But it's the manager's judgment. It was his judgment that brought them there in the first place. Although Hatate was an Ange Postecoglou production, but Bernardo and Arne Engels. So it's the manager's judgment, and he has the good fortune of being able to use the lot of them if he wishes over the course of the 90 minutes.
Celtic won both of those ties 1-0 64 years ago, whatever it was. According to Andrew McLean, who just knows these things.
I knew they won in Bratislava. I was playing football that night, you know.
Just can't imagine it. You were a left back, weren't you?
Yeah.
You told me this before.
With my shirt on.
Aye. Three buttons under. There you go. So a history lesson thrown into Clyde One Super Scoreboard as well. But you do think it's a win tonight, James, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've got into the habit of scoring three, and I don't think they're going to break that habit tonight. I think they're going to carry on with that, and they might be 3-1 or 3-0.
Really torn, because again, you're looking for signs to go into... Take domestic football, actually, defensively Celtic been really good as well, which maybe gets overlooked. I think they've not conceded in the league. And then usually on this midweek, the third week in September, you say, but this is the Champions League.
Yeah.
Except this year you say, but is it, mate? You know, well, it is, but I genuinely don't know. Would Slovan Bratislava's attacking threat be similar to Hearts? I don't know.
That sort of level,
But then maybe there's a lesson in that as well, because I know Celtic won, but it's not like Celtic had it all their own way at the weekend, and you know, it was a penalty and they waited. So although people who are likening it to a domestic game are suggesting that makes Celtic this massive favourite, and I'm sure they are, there are still loads of them where you know that if you're just a little bit off and the other team comes and punches above their weight, then
for
it
me,
can be tricky for you.
Gordon, the whole thing tonight is about psychology, the psychology of the outcome, because Celtic have started the season 5 league matches, 5 wins, no goals conceded, had a big win over Rangers, which is always a very important thing in this city, and this is the Champions League with the reinforcements there, the £11 million reinforcement on the Ingles, £9 million worth of Adam Ida to come on as well, etc, etc. And to win at home, marvellous. That continues the feel-good factor. To lose at home, day one, really causes a downward feeling.
Do you want another history lesson, another chapter to it? Apparently the away game kicked off at 1:30 in the afternoon because Bratislava didn't have floodlights.
Yeah.
And there you go. Changed days.
Celtic had only had floodlights for about 2 years by that time.
Yeah, someone just singing the Champions League song at the side of the pitch. No tannoy. Thank you to James. What about Charles, who's on the line? How are you, Charles?
Yeah, not so bad, guys. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. What's on your mind?
So, I mean, the Hatate thing, without a doubt, man, that man starts all day, every day, and twice on Sundays. People put too much focus on Engel's price tag and Bernardo's price tag and Ida's price tag. Let's just take Bernardo and Engel's into the equation because they're the guys who may replace him tonight. So that's £17 million between them. How much do you sell Hatate for? If the English Premiership came looking for Hatate now, how much is he worth?
I mean, that's a good point.
Between £15 and £20 million.
I quite like that.
Then, that man is then now, I mean, again, you guys might disagree, but I'm thinking 15 to 20 million for a guy we paid £1.4 million for, oh, then is worth more than both of them put together. But the big onus is on the fact that Celtic spent that, not what the player's worth that's not maybe going to be playing.
I think it's a really good way of looking at it. Maybe we do get obsessed. It's fair. If you were to sell Rio Hatate, would you look to sell him for more than what you paid for Arnie Ingles?
Yes, you would.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. So, yeah. Fair enough. Maybe are we too obsessed with the 11 million bit?
I mean, in a world where Celtic paid £9 million for Adam Ida and may have paid more than they ought for Adam Ida, but in that world, Hatate goes for big money. But
yeah, that's true. No one's saying tonight, you've got to play Adam Ida because he's worth 9 million.
Yeah.
No, like, nobody's really saying that. So I suppose that's, we're being a bit selective.
But, you know, I go back to this Paulo Bernardo having played very well against Rangers, and that always sends your stock soaring sky high in this city. But for me, Hatate has not done anything to deserve not starting the game, and I think Paulo Bernardo will be the one who will have to wait his turn.
He was a bit, maybe by his own standards, quieter at the weekend. Mm-hmm. As a former midfielder yourself, I doubt you wouldn't like to play against someone like Hatate, would you? You wouldn't enjoy that experience.
Play against any of them. No, but as I said, you know, I've been to watch Celtic a couple of times this season, obviously working for the show, and when you see him play, he just adds that balance to the midfield. As you said, he had a quieter game at the weekend, but it's still that balance you're talking about, the relationships that you have in there, and him and McGregor have played so many games together now, that I just can't see a Celtic midfield. If you're talking about the strongest midfield that they can possibly put out there, how you can take him out. I get Engel's price tag when we're speaking about it, but when you bring a player in for that amount of money, when those negotiations are going on, the biggest selling point for him is not playing domestically, it is a Champions League. You know, and that's what he's been brought into playing, and that's why I think Bernardo will be put on the side, unfortunately. And then, yeah, at some point he can come on, but just to, you know, touch on the point of Hatate, he has to play. Him and McGregor are the two, and then it's one, you know, plus those two.
Are you as confident as the previous caller, Charles? Or again, to flip that, does that sort of favourites tag almost worry you in a roundabout way?
No, unfortunately, I mean, I live down south. I can't make midweek games most of the time. I would give a call, he's off for a couple of champs. But tonight, I think it's fine, though. I generally do. And I think, you think the Hatate with these apart. They love the space. They're going to come and attack. They're going to want to. The space a bit, like, I know it's only pre-season friendlies and people can offer if they want, but when City and Chelsea practice, and Chelsea it's some team out in the pre-season friendly, we opened the space and we ripped teams to shreds, and that was including our traffic. I can't see anything but Celtic win tonight.
The reference to this pre-season and the games against City and Chelsea won't go away, because sometimes people just disregard pre-season as if it's nonsense. But Celtic and Brendan Rodgers have spoken about using that even just stylistically to sort of prepare for the Champions League. But again, we're going to need to wait to see that. You know, maybe that is something, you know, you might play a City or a Chelsea. We know that it'll be Villa and Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah.
And that it may be just really about Celtic doing their own thing, you know, focusing on themselves tonight.
Oh yeah. That's why I say that the psychology of the night is so important. A Celtic win, and the fans continue to say Brendan Rodgers has got a real good squad and this is the strongest squad and the manager keeps talking them up. A Celtic loss and it's the same old, and all of a sudden you're reviewing the squad and the strength of the squad. So the psychology of the night is all important.
Is it testament to the sort of seamless start to the season that this is the only one team selection debate we can come up with? And even then, for some people, maybe we're trying too hard. Not we, but you know, everyone in general. There's really nothing else doing, is there?
Yeah, they've been brilliant all season. As you said, you know, you spoke about pre-season there and it normally gets pushed to the side. But because Celtic have continued that into those first five games, as Hugh's spoken about, where they have been breathtaking and they've really blown teams away. And then you spoke about at the start of the show, this being the perfect Champions League game for them. I think they'll continue in the same fashion. And as you said, because they've played so well, there's the only real one debate. And for me, it's not a debate, if I'm honest. I'll be so shocked if... You know, it's not Engels and Hatate in there, but, you know, I guess we'll find out
because
soon.
Because, again, there was a feeling in the summer that, well, maybe Adam Ida, and it is 9 million and it is a different stature and maybe for Champions League nights, but this wouldn't count as one of them, really, would it? This isn't... I don't hear anybody suggesting...
I think Koga's a different level to Adam Ida at this moment in time. I think that's it, really, you know. There's nobody out there that's thinking, right, play Adam Ida instead of Kyogo, because I just think they're on two different levels. I think when you look at the midfielders, they're very similar in terms of their actual ability. It's just probably a preference thing rather than an ability thing. Adam Ida, like you said, he's a different player. He's a bigger player. You know, if it's Kilmarnock away, for example, maybe speak about playing him instead of Kyogo. But yeah, Kyogo has to lead the line today.
Okay, thank you to Charles. Plenty of time for you to join in. I reckon we'll be... pretty set for team news after this break. Let me tell you about this before we go any further. Well done to Steve, our first winner of the week. He was on the phone to his boss when he got the call. There are times when you can hang up on your boss. This is one of them.
Did he tell him what he could do with his job?
Well, I was going to say, because it was a hefty amount of money, and we could make you the winner of £145,000 tomorrow when we make the next call, but you need to be in that draw by texting yes to 61025. Your texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are online, and the important stuff: if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away. Don't say it like that. You could probably join it up a bit better. But that's how you win the £145,000. So text yes to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans are here on 0141 951 1025. We cannot be far away from team news from Celtic Park. There's been a good bit of debate about who should or who shouldn't play, but we'll have the official lines going into UEFA very soon, I would imagine. Of course, Champions League is dominating things tonight. Oh, in fact, look at that, right on cue. Let's just go to Andrew McLean, who can put us out of our misery.
Yeah, well, it's an unchanged side for Brendan Rodgers going in to this game tonight, which means Kasper Schmeichel starts in goal. The back four: Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The midfield three: Callum McGregor, Arne Engels and Rio Hitati. And the front three: Nicholas Kuhn and Daizen Maeda, either side of Kyogo. The substitutes for Celtic tonight: Sinisalo, Trusty, Palma, Ida, Vaye, Yang, McCowan, Navrotsky, Bernardo, Forrest, Ralston and Welsh.
There you go, unchanged from the weekend. I think I can now come clean because you don't want to like speak out of school, but I'm just happy to facilitate the debate. But when I was up doing some work at Celtic training yesterday, I saw that 11 standing themselves and I thought, oh well, I'll be unchanged, but I'll just go and pretend there's a big debate for the next few days. And I did say it's no longer a clue. Paulo Bernardo did the press, the big Champions League press conference yesterday, and it used to be, Hugh, you'll remember this, you would have, oh, maybe that means, but I never really buy into that anymore. It's been contradicted a few times. So there we go. No drama. Same team.
Well, but it's self-explanatory. They're all playing well. They're all good players. They have a lot to give. Celtic have the 60,000 behind them. When that Champions League music, even the remix fashion, starts up tonight, Celtic Park will erupt. It's then up to those players to show that they are as positive in the mind as the manager says they are.
We said that there's maybe one debate that we've kicked the backside out of for the last show and a half, but it was never going to be a team that had anyone, you know, battering down the phone lines to disagree with tonight, was it?
Yeah, there was never going to be any real surprises, as you said. You know, it was literally Engels or Bernardo, and he's gone with Engels, which we expected to happen for all the reasons we spoke about at the start of the show. But as you said, it's going to be a brilliant dressing room to be in if you're a Celtic player, because knowing, you know, it's almost like a domestic game. If we go and perform, boys, we win this game of football. You know, as Hugh said, hearing the Champions League music, you know, the light show and all the fans being behind you, you know, what a magnificent way to start your Champions League campaign. You know, like you say, 9 points, 10 points will get you into kind of that qualifying position.
I don't, it's the first time we've seen it, but I think 10 really, really would. I think you're looking at 9 and maybe, maybe sort of 8.
Get 3 today, you're well on your way, aren't you?
And then, you know, if you're talking about that kind of, you know, the level of them being favourites, if you can marry that up with it feels like a Champions League night, you know, whatever that is, when that big expectant crowd and under the floodlights, if you can get that, but a winnable sort of task on the pitch, that should be a good combination, shouldn't it? Because sometimes, I'm not saying you blame the crowd when things go bad and you praise them when things go well, but there can be an accusation that on those random Saturday 3 o'clock games against whoever at Celtic Park, the full thing can feel just a bit more pedestrian, but it shouldn't feel like that tonight, you wouldn't imagine.
If Celtic were playing Fleetwood Town tonight, it would feel like a Champions League night, because the fans are so up for this. They have bought into everything that Brendan Rodgers has done and has said. And tonight, they are going there, for the most part, I believe, confident of victory. Now the players have to deliver.
Let's find out if John in Bishop Briggs agrees. John, how are you?
Hi, how you doing, Gordon?
Feeling good about it tonight?
Hopefully it goes well. Just my point. It was just regards to, obviously, previous games in the Champions League when we played like Canaria Madrid under Ange a couple of seasons ago, where we had plenty of chances but never kind of took any. And the same with Shakhtar Donetsk, Lazio, it seems to be a common theme. So I think that's, if we're able to take our chances tonight, I think we'll do well.
That's a fair point. You look at, again, hard to draw direct comparisons because different standard of opponent, but you could say, for all the stick Celtic get about styles and all that in the Champions League, you could say actually one of their main problems in the last few years has just been taking their chances.
Yeah, in front of goal. You know, they have struggled at times, and as John said there, you know, they've created a chance and not taken them, even against, you know, one of the best teams in the world in terms of Real Madrid. But listen, they'll create chances tonight, there's no doubt about it. And I know they've missed a couple in the last few games, but you know, the way that they have, you know, taken their chances, especially in the first 20 minutes of the game, Celtic have really gone at teams and blown them away. It's exactly the same thing they want to do today. And Brendan will be saying to the players, this is not an easy game, but it just shows how far you've come. That's where your favourites.
I think, Hugh, I would love it to have a bit, you know, a bit more cutting edge analysis than just saying it's all about scoring early. But you sometimes feel like, take the weekend. The weekend becomes a bit frustrating. It becomes a bit sticky. You wait until the end for your second. It's a penalty. See if Kyogo scores that one-on-one early. You just feel like it's never going to pan out that way.
If Celtic scored early tonight, an atmosphere that was frenetic will become hysterical. And the supporters will absolutely love it. I'm looking at five names here. I'm looking at Kyogo, obviously, although he's had a couple of really bad misses recently. Daizen Maeda, always a threat. Engels looks to me as if he has goals in him. He was lucky, he was unlucky to hit the post with Craig Gordon there on Saturday in the Hearts game.
He took the penalty as if he'd been a Celtic player for 10 years. Hatate is capable of giving you goals as well. And McGregor, this season, literally thinks outside the box. The goals he's scoring from outside the box, he's brought that to his armoury. So I'm looking at those five players: McGregor, Hatate, Engels, Kyogi Maeda. Goals must be there.
John, if you were being really picky, you might look at the chance Kyogo missed on Saturday. He scored one, obviously, against Rangers, a good one, but again, missed that sort of one-on-one. I take it he's still the man for this occasion in your mind?
Oh, definitely. He's still the man, still our number one striker. I think on Saturday, Hugh hit the nail on the head with it as well with Kyogo, because I think it was on pre-season, he was flying, he was scored a cracking goal against Man City, and we went into the game against Kilmarnock at the start of the season, missed a sitter there, then at St Mirren, I believe he missed a sitter there as well, but then he steps up against Rangers, scores an absolute worldie, and then misses again another one-on-one chance on Saturday or against Hart. So it just really depends what you get tonight, to be honest, and I'm hoping, like you say, we get that early goal from him, and it kind of settles him as well, and allows us to play that kind of free-flowing football that obviously you come to see with Brendan Rodgers now.
Is he... It's hard to broad brush someone like him, who will no doubt he scored one-on-ones, I'm certain he has, but is his strength maybe those more instinctive ones, like the Rangers one? It's a great sort of vision and presence of mind. He's of how many has he scored on, you know, cutbacks from either side? Are those maybe
Yeah, I think he is very much an instinctive striker in terms of, like you said, it's coming into him, he doesn't have to think too much, and he's a really good finisher in those situations. You know, as John's saying and you're saying, it's probably when he has a little bit more time and a little bit more time to think about it, you know, that he does struggle in terms of scoring them. But he's getting the right positions to get those chances. And that's the biggest thing as a striker, or the hardest thing, you know, is to get into those situations. He's done it against Real Madrid, and he's doing it domestically. I expect him to do it again tonight and score.
Yeah, but not at this stage, Hugh, if there's any doubt about that. I mean, I guess strikers do miss. Gordon Dalziel always bangs on about as long as you're getting the chances and as long as you're in there to take them.
He is an instinctive predator, and he has had his bad misses this season and he's had his great goals. There is no doubt whatsoever that if your choice is Kyogo or Adam Eder to start, it's Kyogo 100 times out of 100.
Has the manager got that midfield right for you, John? Was there ever any doubt about Hatate?
No, I've been listening to the last few days, and I don't know why the doubt surrounding Hatate came up, to be honest. I thought he's actually been okay at the start of the season. Kind of gets about the park and kind of breaks up the play and stuff like that, and he's always got that wee killer pass in him. So always thought when Brendan brought back Ingles into the team, obviously on Saturday there, we started to get him to gel with Hatate and McGregor. So I always did think that those kind of three players would play, and then Bernardo will probably come in for the Falkirk game at the weekend kind of thing. But with Kyogo as well, he has already got a couple of Champions League goals to his name, so he does know how to score in the competition, so I'm hoping he can obviously replicate that tonight.
Well, as you can hear from the debate about the team, Brendan Rodgers says they've got much more depth than they have for previous Champions League campaigns, and he wants their benchmark to be European football, not domestic football.
There's been a lot of occasions where, and no fault of the players, because the players here and all my times here, I looked to the first period, give me absolutely everything. But the level, we just weren't at that level. That's the reality of it. But players were good players, but maybe our depth wasn't quite there. But I look at us now as a club, progressing, looking to look forward. You see where the club have supported us fantastic in the summer. And we want to be able to do that again in some other areas. Because we want to keep growing. We don't want just the benchmark to be... to be domestic, we want to improve and do well in Europe. So, it's an amazing level to be involved in. I love the challenge. I relish the challenge. The players do. We love playing at it, and that's why you work all year to win your league, to win your title, to get to Knights League tonight, which will be an amazing feeling.
Speaking of big games, we've got one of our own. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to take on Hugh Keevans or Marvin Bartley, show that you have superior football knowledge to them, and win yourself a signed ball. At my feet, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 signed balls that they've been signing to give away from previous defeats. So let's see if you can add to that tally on 01419511025 with the lines closing at 7. Be quick.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
1 hour, well, 58 minutes if you're going to be specific, to kick off between Celtic and Slovan Bratislava in the Champions League. And we're building up to the big game, the big kickoff. So get all your thoughts in. We've already given you the team. It's easy for me to remember because it is unchanged from the weekend. So if you've any thoughts there, please do. Still plenty of time for us to shift focus onto something else. I know if you're not a fan of Celtic, then it's a quieter midweek because they're the only team in Europe this week before the Europa League and the Conference kicks in. But still do get in touch, Rangers fans, anyone else. I know you Motherwell fans, you're a bit closer. Dundee United game on Friday night, so only 2 days away. Any thoughts there? Any thoughts on that report that came out today, underlining, I think, what we all knew, but a real strong look to this fact that the Scottish Premiership is, by a mile actually, the best supported league per capita anywhere in Europe. Any thoughts on that? Please do get in touch. There's a vacancy at St Johnstone, so if you're a St Johnstone fan, fine, get involved. But even if you're not, maybe you want to throw a name in, maybe you want to recommend someone for the role. 01419511025, and we will get back to the traditional phone lines after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. What's the form like, Hugh? Remind me. I feel like you've probably won mostly recently.
I won on Friday. And before that one started, I think my win percentage was 75%.
Apparently, you are both the same this season. Four wins, one loss each.
Oh, it's a tough shot to call up tonight.
We could separate it tonight. One of them will take on Stephen and Irvin. How's it going, Stephen? Stephen, how are you?
Hello, how do you hear me?
Yeah, got you now. Have you ever played before, Stephen?
No.
Okay, usual. Do okay when you're playing along at home?
We've got a carriers and I on my way to the game. Fancy it against any of them.
Yes, yeah, he sounds like he's multitasking, Steve.
It's not a car, it's a bus.
Would be good to take down, we'd like him.
It's a 52-seater. So he's got a good chance of beating you two. It's funny, that's what they all say. We've got a guest in the studio. We've got young Josh, who's in and says he listens in the way to football training, and it's easy, apparently, when you're in the car. But we'll see how it goes tonight. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevan's. Tails, it will be Marvin Bartley taking on Stephen and his 47 pals. And it is heads. It's the experienced man. I'm afraid, Stephen. It's Hugh Keevan.
Be afraid, Stephen.
Be afraid.
Okay, bring it on, Marvin. You're lucky.
He's, and do you know what, Stephen? I think he's too relaxed tonight. He's got his second shirt button undone because of the good weather. Hugh, so it's like,
he's no face that's calf.
Exactly. Right. Let's give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to, so he can't hear the guys. Stephen, you and your team, I've got 30 seconds. Try and you give me the answer, will you? I won't be able to keep in track of who's shouting out in the background. So yep, you give me the answer. Yep. 30 seconds on the clock, and you're allowed to pass. So if you're ready, your time starts now. Who were the last Slovakian team Celtic played in Europe?
Mija Blaž.
Stuart Armstrong has joined which MLS side?
Chicago.
How many Brazilians are in Rangers' first team squad?
Two.
Who was the last non-Old Firm player to win PFA Player of the Year?
Pass.
Alan Mabry manages which SPFL side?
Pass.
True or false, Kilmarnock are the oldest club in the Premiership?
True.
Kevin Van Veen is on loan at which SPFL team?
St Mirren.
Who's the current boss of Queen's Park?
Alan Davidson.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I can.
You're nodding along there.
I've
gone like Clapples here, Gordon.
old Elton John song. So,
is that who it was? Good shame. I didn't know who it was.
It's an Elton John song, but it wasn't Elton. I don't know who it was.
30 seconds here. You ready?
I am.
Your time starts now. Who were the last Slovakian team Celtic faced in Europe?
Pass.
Stuart Armstrong has joined which MLS side?
Vancouver.
How many Brazilians are in Rangers' first team squad?
One.
Who was the last non-Old Firm player to win PFA Player of the Year?
Michael Higdon.
Alan Mabry manages which SPFL side?
Edinburgh City.
True or false, Killy are the oldest club in the Premiership?
true.
Kevin Van Veen is on loan at which SPFL club?
St Mirren.
Okay. Stephen, have you done enough?
Tiebreaker, maybe.
I like what we're doing on the live stream for anyone who's watching. Did you see how much we zoomed in on Hugh Keevan's face there when he was playing? I don't know if I've just... Maybe we do that every night and I've never noticed.
Well done, Hugh. You were all right there.
There you go. Oh. What a ringing endorsement that was.
Praise indeed, Stephen. I've never played a car before.
Right.
It's a Volkswagen Passat.
It's all the one to me. I can't drive any of them.
You take a lift in anything, though.
Oh, absolutely. Take a lift in a penny farthing.
We're on our way to the game.
Well, enjoy yourself.
Who are the last Slovakian team Celtic played in Europe? The car knew it. Remember, Armitia Bratislava.
Oh, Gordon Strachan.
Famous. Oh, Or infamous, whatever way you want to put it. 1-0. However, Kivo strikes back straight away. It's Vancouver Whitecaps for Stuart Armstrong. And then it swings the other way. Jeffy and Danilo. Mm-hmm. Two Brazilians. Stephen and the team go back in front. I'm disappointed in you both. It's not even that much of a trick question. He is the reigning player of the year. It's Lawrence Shankland.
Is
the last Donald Thurn player to win it. So, I mean, you're right, Hugh. It probably was Michael Higdon before that or in that ballpark. Anyway, Alan Mabry.
Stirling Albion.
So still one up to the car. You both eventually got there. You kind of hummed and hawed, but Kelly are the oldest in the Premiership. 1869, if you're keeping track. Van Veen is on loan at St Mirren, so we're still there. But the current boss of Queen's Park is Callum Davidson. You didn't get that far. Stephen did. It is a 5-3 win for the car.
There you are.
I'm
well done.
I tell you, Marvin, you will never get that.
Do you know what? Stephen, I promise, mate, I got 5 up to that St Mirren one.
It's all good in your thin bag, man.
Is that your lucky omen for the night then, Stephen?
Hopefully, Hugh, hopefully. 3-0. I'm hoping for a 3-0 tonight, but I'll take one.
See, in fairness, Stephen gave me them all. I didn't hear too much shouting out from the team.
My nephew Austin was giving me a wee hand.
Good on you, Austin. There you go. You
can
join
us. Austin,
you can get half the signed ball. We're only giving one away.
Austin's getting the full signed ball.
Good man. Brilliant. Right, well done to you.
I'll come on next week and I'll get another one for myself against
I call it next Wednesday.
I really like this vendetta against you. I've got a lot of time for that.
My phone's good. Better than Hughes now.
I like Marv. I like him, man, but he's crap at being a pundit.
Brilliant. Enjoy the game tonight.
Sticky Gade, Simon Donnelly, all
we got. That's what it is. We got the end. He's sticking up for the Celtic, man. That's what it is. Well done, Stephen.
Take care, mate.
It's gone. 0141 951 1025. You're getting it tight there. I can see you getting just a wee bit angry.
I think I would have done alright with the questions though. I've got Callum Davidson as well.
You know, he's just a big angry brute of a man.
Yeah.
Generally, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah.
I had the misfortune, would that be the right word?
No, fortune.
Him and I were on the same team at paddle tennis this morning.
I heard the two of you. The stressing moment for me to listen to two grown men talking about paddle tennis.
What's wrong with that? Is it for children? It probably should be.
It's certainly not for a Super Scoreboard presenter and an angry man from London.
But let me tell you, the sight of him thundering towards the glass at full pelt, I thought the full court was going to come down on top of us like a poorly assembled tent. But he was... I mean, I'm not good either, don't get me wrong. I feel like...
What are you going to say here?
I just think you're more for things that require like just brute force and determination. We got our you know what's by, and of all people, Gabs, one of our reporters here.
He's tremendous, by the way.
Very soft hands, have to say.
A lot of pace as well. Youth.
He's got that Italian, but I think he played like a kind of continental European style.
He played tennis to a good level as well. We'll get better though.
And Lee Miller, who is now unfortunately just known as father of
dead.
Yeah. He was pretty good. And we got embarrassed a bit, didn't we?
Yeah. We won a couple of games.
And you left your water bottle behind.
I'm raging. That's actually hurt me.
The second most famous artifact, the most famous artifact on this show is your Nokia, obviously. Look at this thing. But I think behind that is Marvin's water bottle that he keeps.
That's two I've lost in like 3 weeks.
You really are struggling. You need to get your finger out. There we go. Right, 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. Get in touch. Build up to the game, obviously dominating things. But maybe you just want to change the subject, get it on something else. That's fine. Mark says, will you ask Marvin if he's put his name forward for the St Johnston job, or has his good lady talked him out of it? Ooh. Of course, you're in a St Johnston household.
Yeah, the group chat. Oh, imagine that.
How has it gone down in the St Johnston household? Was it the right decision to get rid of Craig Levein?
I think they were a bit shocked that he went at, obviously, the timing of it. You know, they've been struggling a little bit, but I think they were a little bit shocked. But they are obviously happy that the new owner's now thinking they're going to bring somebody else in. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they've got big plans for the football club. So, listen, change is always a good thing, isn't it, when you're struggling at the bottom?
What do you think, Hugh, as a newspaper man, could we just about spin that into Sky Sports' main presenter says Levein had to go? Is that what you took from that?
I would just have it as domestic dispute rocks at Dermot Park.
It was Watty, but I would blame him. That's her dad.
Is it you? Is the first in the Premiership, Hugh? Were you surprised? Or
No, not really. When you're Stephen Naismith, for example, and you're bottom of the league, I thought that he was the one under greater pressure. But
it's the goodwill in the bank for him, probably, isn't it? Well, last season.
But when you come under American ownership, I expect the dynamic to change, because Americans don't do failure. And if they suspect early on that this isn't going where they wanted it to go, I think they act decisively. And when the new owner said that they were going to cut down on the number of Celtic and Rangers fans who got seats at the ground for home matches, you can't attempt to grow that support on the back of a team that's not appealing to your own fans. So I'm not surprised. And I wish Craig Levein well and whatever else he does after this, but I think we've probably seen the last of him in football management.
Any names doing the rounds that excite you?
Well, Scott Brown was there, mentioned. John Kennedy, I'm not sure that John Kennedy leaves Celtic, Champions League et al. And goes to Perth. Neil Lennon will obviously be a contender, mm-hmm. because he's currently in between jobs. But again, the new owner might have someone out of left field.
Yeah, I think Neil Lennon's not a bad shout at all. I think he's obviously been there and done it. Obviously at Celtic, but also at Hibs. You know, I don't think St Johnstone have the worst squad. You know, I think they are underperforming. So, you know, in terms of his motivational skills, etc., if it's something that he's interested in, I'm sure St Johnstone will want to speak to him. But as Hugh said there, with Jimmy Tilling going in at Aberdeen and doing what he's done, I think it's probably likely that they will look further afield as well. But I don't think you can really turn your nose up at Neil Lennon. Listen, I know he struggled the last couple of clubs, but listen, he is a good manager and he knows the Scottish game.
Heard some interesting shouts last night, even from the pundits and from, I think, a caller, Rhys McCabe, John McGlynn.
John McGlynn, I think, is now in with the Bricks at Falkirk.
They deserve one more chance at something. I mean, producer John through there will be having kittens.
Cutting your mic off.
He'll want them to stay. And maybe he does get a crack at the Premiership with Falkirk next season, given the way they're going. But he's done a brilliant job, hasn't he?
Well, without doubt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, like Celtic, 5 games played in the league, 5 wins. I just think that St Johnstone will look to a younger and possibly lesser known man. And Rhys McCabe, I have always thought, would get another job at a higher level, because he seems to me to be innovative and clearly a managerial talent in the making.
Completely hypothetical at this point, but it would be a really interesting appointment and a really interesting test of this question of, okay, you've got your principles in, mm-hmm. in your way, can you just take over a struggling team and do that and implement it quickly and have them playing like a certain way? That would be fascinating to see, whether it's him or not. I've no idea.
No, it would be. It would definitely be fascinating to see. I think that's probably the reason why they might not go down that route, because, you know, in the position they're in at this moment in time, there's probably not a style that they can implement quick enough. And as Hugh said, you know, when you're already looking towards the bottom of the league, it would be tough. But, you know, Reece is strange. He's come under pressure at Airdrie now. You know, he sees some soccer. They've not won a few games. Yeah. Football management is crazy. But listen, I agree with Hugh. He deserves a shot at a bigger club, definitely, and, you know, I'm sure he'll be interested in St Johnstone without being disrespectful to Airdrie.
Okay, let's go back to the game tonight. Martin is a Celtic fan. Martin, everybody's phoning in is pretty confident. Would you class yourself in that camp as well?
Oh, without a doubt, Gordon. Good evening, Gordon, Marvin and Hugh. How are you doing, guys? All right?
Good, good, man, thanks.
Absolutely buzzing, man. I can't wait, you know what I mean? I've been waiting on this for so many weeks now. I was talking to the producer there. I was just know about the debate about the midfield and stuff, guys, right? My first two picks, right, obviously I've got it wrong, right? No, it's not often I'll disagree with Brendan Rodgers, you know what I mean? But my first two picks would have been Callum McGregor and Bernardo. But at the same time, I'm thinking, the four guys in the midfield, they're quite equal. But what Hugh was saying there about Ingles, I understand what he's saying, right? He's £11 million signing. He's got to be in there. But when you look at the other three guys are worth about £20 million plus, guys, you know what I mean? And then the same up front there, at the same time, you're talking about Adam Eder, right? £9 million, it's only £2 million less than Ingles. He's never going to get in front of Kyogo. Kyogo's worth £20 million plus. So, but either way, I'm happy anyway. You know what I mean? I think all the boys are all good players. But that would, if push comes to the push, it would have been Bernardo, for me, Callum.
Why is that? Talk to me a bit more about Bernardo, because I know he was good against Rangers. I thought he was good against Rangers. How has he gone up, even if it's slightly, Martin, even if it's 1%, how is he above Hatate and Ingles for you?
Well, Gordon, to be honest with you, mate, I seen it for a way back last year, and I know a lot of people questioned it. And I say to all my friends and family, I says Bernardo is a great player. We need to sign that guy, right, on a permanent basis. I says that guy is. We'll be lucky to hang on to this guy, Gordon, at the end of the season, mate. I'm telling you. This guy's going to be on it. This guy's a £25 million, £30 million player, mate. And I seen this away last year, right, when they first came to the club. I know it was only little bits here and there, but I could see his progression as the season went on, and they proved that in the Scottish Cup final, where they set that goal up for Eder, you know what I mean? And I just love his movement, Gordon. His movement... the way he runs with the ball and stuff, you know what I mean? He's a class player, mate. Trust me, man. This guy, we're not going to hang on to this guy for a long time, pal. You know what I mean?
Listen, that may well be the case. Ask the question. I've got no desire to, like, put down Paolo Bernardo. It just feels like, for a lot of Celtic fans, he's really, really gone high in their estimations, and I just wondered why, or if we'd seen enough. I know the Rangers' performance was good. I was just coming to terms with the fact that some people were having him above Hatate for tonight, but it's just Martin's gone then. Hatate and Ingles would be below Bernardo in his estimation.
When Matt O'Reilly left for Brighton, Paolo Bernardo seemed to enjoy assuming the mantle. I can be the replacement. And the fans loved that display of positivity on his part. All of this, though, is to underline the fact that Celtic have strength and depth. Mm. No one has mentioned Luke McCowan. Now, Luke McCowan's there, has already scored his first Celtic goal, and he will have his part to play as well. But there'll be ground rules. Champions League, you won't see Luke McCowan starting games. League games, Premiership, Premier Sports Cup, possible that Luke McCowan could start games there. But it's just strength and depth. And it's not based on monetary value, but Ingles is showing himself to be worth the money. And Hatate is there because he has shown himself to be worthy of a place. It's all about strength and depth, a wealth of talent, and how you use it over a very lengthy domestic and European season.
They're all very understanding when they speak publicly, and Bernardo did yesterday, and, you know, competition's good for places, and competition for places is good, sorry, and we're all understanding, and there's lots of games. Deep down, you're a bit raging if you play as well as you did against Rangers and then the next 2 years.
Yeah, he'll 100% be raging, but Brendan Rodgers will want that. You don't want players at Celtic Football Club who are just happy to be subs, etc. So yeah, listen, he will be raging, but he'll also understand he's got a job to do. When you sign for a massive football club, you have to understand you're not always going to be first pick. I agree with you, he's been brilliant. I think the St Mirren game was his first game, and Matt O'Reilly was kind of down in Brighton finalising his deal. I thought he's been fantastic whenever he's been asked to play. That's all you can do as a player. You know, every single time you go out there and you play to the best of your ability to give the manager that headache. never get in a position where you do get an opportunity, you don't take it, and all of a sudden the fans are saying, well, he's right to be out of the team. This is fantastic. It's great debate. Yes, he wants to be playing. And he'll sit on the sides today and say, do you know what, I can go and impact this game. And if I go and impact this game in the right manner, who knows, next time the Champions League comes around, I could be starting.
All right, thank you, Martin. 01419511025. Good time to call again. I keep saying it. I know it's the obvious one, Celtic game tonight. If you want to talk something slightly different, switch focus, that's what we're here for as well. So give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just an unexpected ad break to keep you on your toes. No big drama. Just like to stay flexible, agile.
I blame the paddle tennis.
There is every chance. What did come to light during the break, because it caused great confusion in here. Confusion, I'm sure, for the listeners. And Marvin's pals from down south, he says, have been texting him because apparently they listen. Do you think they get any idea what we're on about half the time?
Yeah,
they're just that dedicated to listening to you.
They're starting to learn about the Scottish game.
Wow, what
gives
an education.
All the information they need, don't they?
That must be. Well, anyway, hello to Marvin's friends or people who pretend to be his friends. Because
no, there were some swear words in there. Don't say hello to them.
Oh,
they weren't happy.
We know what he's like. Anyway, 01419511025. Half an hour to go till kickoff at Celtic Park. How's this for a full-time teaser for you? Thanks to Billy for sending this one in. Topical, as you would expect. Can you name the last 10 players to score for Celtic in European competition? So, straightforward in theory.
Okay.
Let's see how the answers go. Can you name the last 10 Celtic players to score in European competition?
Lager Bielka.
Oh, he's gone straight in for the most recent one. Well done.
Kyogo.
Yes, Atletico Madrid.
Maeda.
Bodo Glimt.
McGregor?
No, Callum McGregor is not one.
Hatate?
He is not one. See, he started off so confident, now look at you. Panicking already.
Matt O'Reilly?
Nope.
Oh.
There is only, just to help you then, because it might get away from you, there is one more who's currently at the club, and then the rest you're going back and obviously working your way back from that sort.
Edward?
No.
Oh,
I thought you were going to go for the one currently at the club, but never mind. Okay. 01419511025 on the phones. Twitter is at ClydeSSB.
James De Forest?
No, you wouldn't have thought that was a terrible answer, but he's not on it. Okay, the guy who is at the club, similarly to Forest, is not starting tonight, but he's still there. All right, we'll give you, listen, plenty of time. You've got Lager, Bielka, Kyogo and Maeda. And three of the others are from the same game as well, incidentally. But I'm done with clues for now. Fulltime at Clyde1.com. Fulltime@Clyde1.com if you want to get in touch with a teaser that the guys can get their teeth stuck into. So please do. We need as many as possible to see us through. Send us an email and we'll see how we get on. I don't think we make apologies for it, Hugh. It's pretty obvious. There's one game tonight. It's the Champions League. It's bound to be the main focus. There's not loads of other stories. Been pretty quiet on the Rangers front today. What have you made of just the last couple of days generally?
Bewildering. You know, that Rangers should find themselves in this state. John Bennett, we keep on saying it. We wish him well. You know, a man puts that amount of money into Rangers and it affects his health at the same time. That's a really sad story. John Gilligan, I know, passionate about Rangers, holding the fort, but it shouldn't get to the stage where a club like Rangers have someone holding the fort and have no director of the academy and have no chief executive.
Director of football, you mean? Yeah.
Director of football. And have no chief executive. It's not what Philippe Clement thought he was getting into. And he's already hinted as much, but really and truly, he didn't envisage the club falling into disarray in this manner, this power vacuum that has been created. And it's a difficult backdrop for him to work against. So all that he can do is provide decent results on the park. He must stay in the cup at the weekend, otherwise that adds to the destabilisation of the club. So it's a very difficult time for Rangers, and all that John Gilligan can do off the park is hold the fort, and all that Philippe Clement can do on the park is make sure that the team doesn't become as big a talking point as the power vacuum off the field.
And it looks like Dave King's return has sort of come and gone as quickly as it started.
You know, I'm slightly surprised by that. He's done good things for Rangers. He brought Gerrard to the club. Again, a man who's put a lot of money into Rangers, passionate about them. But it sums up what's going on right now, where no sooner has Dave King said, I believe I might be the best person to run this club for a couple of years. No sooner does he say that, and somebody in pantomime fashion says, oh no, you're not. So that's where Rangers are at the moment.
Talking about your friends listening and getting in tune with the wonders of Scottish football, has the sort of constant, like, not constant, but relatively consistent off-field lack of stability at Rangers at times, has that been an education for you since you became an adopted Scot?
Yeah, it has. Especially when you look at the size of the football club. You know, you expect it to be so much better run off the pitch, and, you know, if it's not being run the way it should be, you don't expect to hear these things in the public. I'm sure there's many a club, you know, talking in the UK that maybe aren't run the way that they should be, but when it's constantly put out in the media and you know, you find out so much about it, it's worrying if you are, I suppose, a Rangers fan, because, you know, you can say all of these things you want to say about Clement and the players, but, you know, the people off the pitch, they need to get things right. It's almost like a reset button needs to be hit, and they need to get people, the right people, doing the right jobs, because at this moment in time, it's just been one thing after another. You know, it started with the stadium, and, you know, as Hugh said, now we're speaking about things going on again. It's just not acceptable for a club of that size. And, you know, the people they're shortchanging are the supporters. You know, they're the life and blood of that football club. So, yeah, listen, it's disappointing from a Scottish football point of view, because it shouldn't be happening.
Should that be exciting, though, the prospect of going back to Ibrox, if you're looking for any shred of stability? That would be quite a big one.
Well, of course. The Dundee game in the Cup, I think Rangers were very keen to get back to Ibrox, and I suspect that they were thinking along those lines because they thought that Dundee might turn into an altogether different task if it was at Hampden, and the Rangers fans just dislike Hampden, and they really wanted a better atmosphere. Because, you know, as I said, it will only add to the turmoil if Rangers go out of the Cup. It's the only trophy they possess, and they have to stay in this competition and defend it all the way, or else fingers will be pointed again.
And rightfully so. You know, I agree with you. You know, they definitely want to get back there for the atmosphere, etc. But then, you know, the players need to do their bit, because Ibrox will be rocking again and the fans will be delighted to be back. But the performance now on the pitch, they have to mirror that, because if they don't, and, you know, they start to struggle against Dundee, then all of a sudden it will turn toxic, and rightly so. Rangers should be beating Dundee. You know, they need to take care of their business on the pitch. But yeah, listen, I think the players will be looking forward to it as well. It takes one more excuse kind of away from, you know, playing at Hampden and the atmosphere and not being used to it being the home ground. So, yeah, they need to go and win that game at the weekend.
Speaking of supporters, to just veer off on something slightly different, did you see that story today? Scottish football's top league, the highest attendance of fans per capita in Europe, according to a new UEFA report. I think we've kind of known this before, but again, to see it in black and white and ratified by UEFA. So 18.36 people for every 1,000 in the country went to top flight games last season. Impressive anyway, Hugh, but almost double the next best supported league, which is Portugal's Primeira Liga. So that's 10.23 attendees per 1,000. It's granted weighted because we've got two massive clubs who get but from what I understand, and I've not seen the accurate figures on this, I think even if you were to remove those, it would still be pretty healthy. It's not like it's completely, you know, masked by that, albeit it has a huge impact. It always impresses me so much that almost double the next best supported league in Europe.
First of all, people refer to the Premiership as a two-horse race. It isn't even a two-horse race, because Celtic have won 12 of the last 13 titles. But it's people at Motherwell, at St Mirren, Kilmarnock, You know, even St Johnstone, as I said earlier in the programme, the new owner is trying to cut down on the number of Old Firm fans at home games against St Johnstone, so that more St Johnstone fans can get in. And it's been successful for all of these clubs. You know, more people go to see St Mirren than you might have thought feasible. Likewise Motherwell, likewise Kilmarnock. And they all start off from the standpoint of knowing that they're highly unlikely to win anything. So it's a great boost for Scottish football to know that people like the product, even though the product is dominated by one club in particular, and every now and then somebody else gets a look in.
Maybe we view this wrongly, but we tend to view it through the lens of ticket allocation debates, like we've seen with St Johnstone and St Mirren before and so on, and people talk about the number of empty seats. I think someone mentioned this last week when that came up. Maybe the reality is a lot of our stadiums are just big, you know, big compared to what they might need to be. That there, that report today is the best indicator of how well supported Scottish football is, and you can't really argue with those numbers. Like I say, there's an acknowledgement that Celtic and Rangers help it, but it's still fans that are going to games in this country.
Yeah, you can't argue with it at all. And as you said, one thing that doesn't that's tremendous.
I hope we got that on the camera, Marvin.
I hope you finish with that.
I am now. The beauty of live radio. Marvin just sort of threw his hand up. The inside bit of his pen flew out and landed.
Exhibit A.
In Hugh Keevan's coffee cup.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Exhibit A.
Oh, dear.
A missile projected by the former Hibs great Marvin Bartley.
Apologies. What I was saying.
Lead poisoning for
you. Oh, poor man. What it doesn't calculate is the passion. And I've been lucky enough to, you know, play in Scotland, but also play down south. And the passion of the fans in Scotland is fantastic. So not even the numbers that you're speaking about there, Gordon, just how much people actually love their clubs. And like I said, outside of the big two, you know, it's absolutely brilliant to go to. And listen, a lot of those stadiums I was getting booed in. But, you know, the passion they do have for their football club and, you know, what it means to them on the weekend is absolutely massive. And that's unrivaled. Scotland fans, we saw it at the Euros, brilliant. You know, but you see it domestically as well. It's absolutely fantastic league to play in when it comes to the amount of people supporting their clubs and the passion they do have for it.
I suppose we should stop doing down our game on that side of things. I know there are loads of flooding. In fact, if anything, some people might say, well, we need to do more to harness that, turn that into a good thing, whatever that looks like. And but like I say, I do think because we've always view attendance numbers through the lens of the debate about ticket allocations, I think we tend to be quite negative on ourselves. It's good to get that kind of confirmation of a positive spin on crowd numbers.
Yeah, it's too easy to be negative on our game, and far too many people do it when I don't think at times it's warranted. As you said, that is a massive, massive positive, and it should be something that's, you know, shouted from the rooftop, because football is expensive. You know, we have to understand that as well. You know, in the current climate, football is expensive, but people always find a way. They always find a way to go and support their football club.
That's a good point. For anyone out there who's smarter than me, maybe that's the next level, Hugh, because I reckon that becomes even more impressive. Mm-hmm. Because some of those leagues that are below us, I guess, would be cheaper.
Yeah.
There must be some. I'm not saying they all are, but a lot of these leagues who still can't get as many fans or close to it as we can per capita are probably cheaper. It's not cheap here.
No, not at all. But they are also very supportive. I mean, Hearts, for example, are bottom of the league. But the next time Hearts play at Tynecastle, it'll be full. Hibs haven't been pulling up many trees, but you'll still get fine crowds at Easter Road. Aberdeen haven't won a trophy for donkey's years. And under Jimmy Thielen, there is a new...
Well, there's a good feeling there now, isn't there?
Yeah, terrific. I mean, they're regularly pulling in 17,000 fans for home games. You know, as I say, Derek McInnes was the last one, I think, to win them a trophy, and that was about 8-10 years ago.
10,
yeah, against Inverness Cali Thistle. So, you know, these figures are tremendous. You know, without politicising anything, at a time of a cost of living crisis, the fact that we should be the highest per capita is astonishing, and a great thank you has to go to the people who simply turn out, pay their money, and support their team.
Because that's per capita, as we said, you know, per 1,000 people. But even at that, this report said that 3.8 million fans attended Premiership matches, which is the 8th highest in the whole of Europe. Now, we won't be the 8th biggest country, I wouldn't have thought.
Definitely not.
But the 8th highest. Celtic and Rangers joined the likes of Bayern Munich, Man City, Real Madrid and Barca. Obviously, they're just big European giants, to have an aggregate attendance of more than a million across the season. So different ways of looking at it. Just a sort of a semi-interesting, maybe not floating everyone's boat, in terms of exciting breaking news, but just think, just a, there's nothing wrong with a wee feel good story every now and then, because we usually have got madness and debate and doom and gloom. So it is good to hear. Just back to the Champions League, I can see, you know, teams are sort of finishing off their warm ups and so on, and we'll go back to Andrew McLean and speak. I guess it's a bit early. This is still match day one. Not every, but we got our first look at it last night. Again, because it's one game, nothing really changes. Bayern Munich scored 9.
Yeah.
Don't think that's necessarily as a result of the format. You're still going to get pot one. You would have had pot one teams playing pot four teams, and you get that disparity. But 9 goals is quite something, isn't it?
I suppose we go back to Celtic, the games you mentioned earlier, you know, 7 being lost to Barcelona and 5 to PSG, a bit embarrassing. But there really ought not to be a 9 in there for anyone. That's a total collapse.
It's a bit bizarre, isn't
it? Yeah, it was so bizarre. I was saying to you guys kind of off air that at one point I'm sure it was 3-2. And then you check again and then, you know, Bayern just kind of ran riot. And yeah, listen, nobody wants to get hit for 9 or see a team get hit for 9. But yeah, it shouldn't really happen. Listen, let's hope Celtic, if there's 9 goals in their game, let's hope it's them scoring it and not the opposition.
It's funny, you know, the youth league is kind of mirrored up, isn't it? I don't know if you noticed, again, just a small point, Celtic B team beat Slovan Bratislava 4-0 earlier, so it kind of, it mirrors up, and you,
that's brilliant, you though. See those young players getting that experience in Europe. I know it's something that, you know, Celtic have been doing for a little while now. That's so good for their education, because, you know, European teams play so different to the way the game's played here. Listen, English teams play different to Scottish teams, but I think that's such a good thing for them. As you said, it mirroring up and those players getting, you know, their kind of their own day out. I know it's at Lesser Hamden today, but they'll have away games as well, obviously, when the first team play away. I think it's a fantastic format.
Right, okay. Let's get ready to head back and check out what's going on at Celtic Park. You could still squeeze a call in, I suppose, before the end of the show. Right now, though, can you name the last 10 Celtic players to score in European competition? Lager Bielka in the most recent game against Feyenoord. You have Kyogo, Atletico Madrid, Maeda as well is on there.
Paulo Bernardo?
Nope.
No.
Dembele?
He's actually not in the last 10. No, you're looking a good bit.
Is there a defender on there?
Yeah, a couple.
Is Ayer on there?
No. So you're going, is that right?
Charlie Mulgrew?
Let's no. Let's refine the list. These are all Ange onwards.
Oh.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Not that helps. So.
David Turnbull?
Yep.
Nice, Hugh. That's the key, the
maybe that
clue we're looking for.
Maybe that wasn't an Ange game, actually. Now that I'm just looking at the order of the list, maybe I've been fooled, but not far off, either way.
Still struggling, regardless.
Okay. Still? Right, that game that Turnbull scored in, there's 2 other players on that list. So 2021. So actually, a bit before where I was thinking of. Don't know if you remember the game. It was Real Betis, and it was a much changed Celtic team, but they won 3-2.
I do remember that game.
Yeah. Well, you don't remember it that well, do you?
Yeah, I can't remember who scored, but so Turnbull, whatever his name was, playing is like 50.
Turnbull and 2 others, young Scottish players.
Marky Johnson?
No, but I think he played. Yeah, okay. What about, again then, more, what about big names from the Ange era? Still, I think of the big attacking players that are no longer there. A winger in particular.
Oh, Jota.
Jota. And that similar time, that era. Strikers that aren't Kyogo.
Oh, Giakoumakis.
Yes, you know you're getting there. You're learning. You've only got 3.
Is it Bader on there?
No. 4 to get. We'll try and get them Before the end at Celtic Park. Andrew McLean, let's cross back.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Filling up nicely, I would imagine, Andrew.
Yeah, the lights have been dimmed here at Celtic Park as the Celtic team gets read over the tannoy. Every single name that gets bounded around this place is met with a huge cheer, because these are the players that these supporters are putting all their hopes in, that they can get to the knockout stages of this new format of the Champions League. I'll give you that team that's being read out at the moment. It's Kasper Schmeichel in goal, the back four, Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Liam Scales and Greg Taylor. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Arna Engels and Rio Hatate, Nicholas Kuhn and Daizen Maeda either side of Kyogo. The substitutes, Sinisalo, Trusty, Palmer, Ida, Valle, Yang, McCowan, Navrotsky, Bernardo, Forrest, Ralston and Welsh. The team, of course, will be led out by captain Callum McGregor, who has a wealth of experience in this competition with Celtic. So do a lot of the other players in the starting lineup, but some, it will be their first Champions League appearance for Celtic. Arna Engels, the record signing. Many Celtic fans, I think every Celtic fan, will be delighted to see, or excited to see, what he will be capable of doing at this level. Kasper Schmeichel, of course, has Champions League experience with Leicester, but this will be his first taste of what a Champions League night is like at Celtic Park. And of course, Nicholas Kuhn as well, who was a January signing last year, so this will be his first taste of it as well. But once the Scottish Premiership trophy is lifted at the end of the season, these are the nights that the supporters have their eyes fixed on next. The sunshine has turned to darkness, the lights are flashing on and off at the moment, and not long to go until we hear that deafening noise from the supporters that will accompany what is an updated version of the Champions League anthem for this new look format. Slovan Bratislava, of course, not the big guns you're used to seeing visiting on a night like this, but Celtic won't mind that one bit, I'm sure. A chance to get some points on the board early. Overwhelming favourites, but Brendan Rodgers says they won't be taking their opponents lightly at all. He says Slovan Bratislava, they've earned their place in this competition. They've battled their way through the qualifying rounds and they need to be respected. But surely, surely there is that confidence from Brendan Rodgers, from the players, from every single supporter in this place with the way that they've started this season. They've been free-flowing in attack, they've been really solid defensively, they just look a real level up from where they were at this point last season. Yes, Matt O'Reilly, who was a key player for Celtic last season, has left. He had some really good performances in the Champions League group stages last season, but Celtic still have plenty of quality. Kasper Schmeichel in goal, who's impressed in some games. He's not had a lot to do. There will be some Champions League games where you'd expect to be a lot busier than he will be tonight. You look at that back four, an experienced back four that has played Champions League fixtures together. Cameron Carter-Vickers leading the line there. Callum McGregor, who is just oh so reliable at any level for Celtic and has been for so many years. And in that front line, Kyogo, will he be the man to make the difference in front of goal, assisted by Daizen Maeda and Nicholas Kuhn? And you can hear around me, this is the moment where the scarves will go up around Celtic Park, because You'll Never Walk Alone will be belted around the place just before the players make their way onto the pitch in a few moments' time.
I'm looking forward to the Champions League music, because it kind of reminds me of when we changed the Super Scoreboard theme tune. Yeah. It's not that different, but when you've got such a popular song, people just don't like the change.
Well, how can you remix a classic? I mean, no one remixes Leonard Cohen, do they? They appreciate the majesty of the music and leave it alone. But anyway, it wouldn't matter if it was Gordon DL playing a penny whistle. There would be 60,000 people enraptured by it all at Celtic Park tonight.
I suppose the way that these tickets are sold, it's packaged and so on. It's not like the Celtic fans are going to say, it's just Slovan Bratislava, not turn out and only turn out for the big boys. As we said, this sounds like a big night, and with that comes that big European sort of hope and expectation.
Yeah, it's a massive night for various different reasons, but I think, one of the main reasons is they actually really believe they can win this game, or expect to win this game. it'd be a long time, you know, if you're speaking to Celtic fans and they're being honest that they've gone to a Champions League game and really expected to win. And like you said, with the new format, it's allowed them this. So those fans are going there, the same expectance they have domestically, and they go into games to go and win. And look, everyone's on their feet. It's completely sold out. It'll be a fantastic atmosphere. And hopefully the players, you know, can go out there and put performance on for
them.
We're
nearly finished, to let you go and enjoy the game. Let's finish the teaser quickly. The last 10 Celtic players to score in Europe: Lagar, Bielka, Kyogo, Maeda, Turnbull, Giakoumakis, Jota,
Armstrong.
Nah. Later than that, a right back who went to
Frimpong.
No, went to Germany.
Croatian.
Yep.
Josip Juranovic.
What are you saying? Lemsen.
Scottish centre back still at the club.
Oh,
Welsh.
Steve Welsh. Who's the winger? The other one that's still very much at the club, scored last season. He's just not playing tonight. Come on.
Is he Scottish?
No, absolutely not. Did not get suspended last season because he got two bookings when he took his top off when he scored the goal.
Or Palmer.
Luis Palmer. And the last one, really, really tough. It was that same game, Betis, Ewan Henderson.
I never got that.
Cracking question, isn't it? There we go. Enjoy the game, whatever happens. Celtic fans, maybe some of you are not bothered because I know the way Glasgow works, you maybe watching Netflix or reruns of Hugh Keevans getting beat the pundit, I don't know. But we'll look back on the big game tomorrow, and for the rest of you, it becomes about building up to the weekend as well. So make sure you join us. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson will be here from 6. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.